The workshop today is on handling objections. Really what we're going to focus on more, since we're on limited time, we got about 30 minutes today, some more, it's going to be more of how to handle objections, what objections are, and the concept of handling objections. More of a kind of introduction to objections is really more the message, not so much how to handle each specific one. As a matter of fact, we could do a 30-minute training video just on I want to think about it. We could probably do about a 30-minute training video just on I got to check with somebody else. You see what I mean? So there will be another tape. There is another tape that's dedicated specifically to the individual and unique objections themselves, kind of one at a time. For you to get really skilled at closing and selling, you definitely have to know how to close. What, you know, the percent, if they're listening to our presentation, they're obviously interested. And, you know, the way that we define closing is turning that interest into a written order in the credit card number. That's what closing is. It's turning interest in. It's getting the fish on the line into the boat. That's the difference. It's pretty easy to get the fish on the line. You guys are doing that very successfully. If you're going through the open, they're at least somewhat interested. Okay. If they're, you're giving a presentation to them, obviously they have some level of interest. Do they have enough level of interest to cut you a check and give you a credit card number? Maybe, maybe not. But keep in mind how interested these people are for the simple fact that they're on the phone with you for the second time. Or depending on if you're an outside sales or small business, you know, you might be in your third or fourth meeting with them, by the way. Okay, so obviously they're interested. What we've got to do is we've got to learn how to turn that interest into orders. And that's what a lot of our new people struggle with, is learning how to do that. Because so much of it's situational. It's when they say this, you say that. When they say this, you say that. When this happens, try that. There's all these situational things. So we cannot, when you're new, effectively prepare you. Okay, that's what prepare means. So we could not effectively prepare you for every single objection, okay? For every single objection in advance. It's like trying to teach you how to steal home if you've never been on first base yet. You've got to get out there and get on the base before talking about what getting a good leadoff means. You got to have that experience under your belt. So in the initial trainings, we don't try to teach you every single objection. We give you a general awareness of what it is, and really where the training picks up is really more afterwards and on an individual basis. So these workshops, these tapes, these videos, the daily workshops, the morning workshops, and the one-on-one coaching you guys get from your sales managers, that's designed where you really become skilled at closing, is really more on a one-to-one basis than in the initial training program. So this is really part of the learning curve, is getting good at closing and turning the interest into orders. So I want to say all that, and I also want to say that knowing how to close, knowing how to turn interest into orders is a big part of the big part of the trick here of becoming successful at this. Given the presentation is not that hard, it's giving an effective presentation is what's a little bit more difficult. So a big part of being successful is learning how to close, and a big part of closing is knowing how to handle objections, specific objections. When they say this, you do that. When they say this, you do that. But I really do want to say, being an effective closer is there's way more to it than knowing the comebacks. You've got to know how to do much more than just handle the objections to be an effective closer. In other words, if you don't build the right rapport, if you can't speak with authority, if you cannot establish credibility, give a good company talk, build value, if you can't do all that stuff, which is really part of the presentation in your mind probably, handling objections isn't going to get you anywhere because they're not going to be interested enough. In other words, you got to get the fish on the hook before you get them in the boat. What all I'm going to talk about is getting the fish from in the water on the hook into the boat. It's the last part. So I'm kind of jumping over a lot of what closing is. And again, that's that credibility, and it's speaking with authority, and it's your poise and your confidence and your tonality. It's creating need. It's all those things are part of closing too. Closing starts in the open, not just in the close. But of course, handling objections, generally speaking, if this is our whole sales process, we really have it split in two. We have, of course, the open and the close. Generally, when we talk about handling objections, we talk about how to handle them out here at the end of the process. What an effective closer will do, what an effective salesperson does, is they handle objections in advance throughout their sales process. Isn't that what a really, really good presentation does? It handles objections in advance. What is an objection? It's an excuse or a reason for not buying. Let's give an example. I want to think about it. In other words, they're objecting to saying I'll do it because they're saying I want to think about it. That's an objection. Another objection might be I want to check with your competition. Another objection might be I want to check with my broker because he has a website and he seems to know this stuff. Another objection might be I might do it myself. Another objection might be how do I know your company's any good? Okay, I want to think about it, not now. These are all your common objections. So there's only five or six, and I just said main ones. I just said them all too. So when they say that, you got to know what to say.
So what our effective, our top people have learned how to do is they've learned how to see the objections coming by kind of sniffing them out with some hints or clues they might have got through the open by being an effective listener. And I hear that you, I get the feeling that you're going to say, oh, how do I know your company's any good? Well, then I'm going to give you a really good company talk in my presentation. I'm not even going to let you wait and say, oh, how do I know your company's any good? You guys see what I mean? So an effective sales presentation squashes and collapses the objection even before it arises. So if you're getting a lot of objections at the end, what's that probably tell you? You need to be more effective at your opening your presentation. Okay, but what we're going to focus on today is specifically how to handle them when they do come up. So we're going to go to the assumption you've done an effective open and an effective close, now you're getting objections at the end. But I want you to see there's a lot more to this than just knowing the comebacks when they say want to think about it, that you know to come back and say this. A lot more to being successful in sales than memorizing the word tracks, if that makes sense. Okay? So, what is closing? Let's get you clear on that. What is an objection, I should say? Okay, an objection is a reason for not buying. One of the things to become a great closer that you need to do is you need to develop a healthy understanding of objections. And I'll share a few things I think will make a big difference. First of all, view objections as a request for more information. In your mind, convert that to a question. Okay, it's a request for more information. And play a game with yourself of taking what they say as an objection and convert it into a question. Okay? I want to think about it. How can we convert that to a question? What might that mean? Maybe the question is, do I have enough information to make a wise decision? They could really be thinking, gosh, do I really understand this enough? Do I really have enough information to make a wise decision? That might be their concern, and how do they verbalize that? Well, I really want to think about it. I want to sleep on it. Right? Or, well, I've never heard of your company. Okay, I doubt you guys get that many company objections anymore. I tell you what, we used to get them a lot, when we had 17 clients, or whatever. Those days you'll hear about sometime. But anyway, I doubt you get that many more company objections. If you do, it's because your company talk's not solid enough. That should be definitely eliminated in advance. We're a real company, we're big, we've got thousands of clients, we're pros at this, blah, blah, blah. That one should be eliminated in advance. But if they say, I've never heard of your company, and that's their objection, maybe they're saying, well, how do I know your company is legitimate? How do I know you're not some ripoff? That's their question. You guys see that? So play the game of converting in your mind an objection into a question. Because if I asked you, how do I know your company is legit, and how do I know you're not a ripoff? It'd be pretty darn easy for you to respond to that just off the top of your head. You don't even have to have a script. I mean, I hope you guys can speak to that pretty well, and if not, you will by just trial and error and practice. But if they say, well, I never heard of your company, I got to go shop around and check this out. If it's not presented to you in a question form, it's a little bit harder to respond to. But if you can in your mind say, what question is that, and then address the question, it's just a little bit, what's the word, it's a little more intuitive to you. So objections are questions. They're requests for more information. I want to shop around. Are you guys the best company? Is your price fair? How do I know that I should go with you without looking at someone else? That's their questions. That's it? Anything else? Oh, okay. And then address the question. Answer the question. Give them more information. They're requesting more information. If they knew as much as I did about this, they'd buy it for sure. If they knew as much as you knew about this, they'd buy it for sure. They don't have nearly the information that we do. They don't. Maybe they're scared. People are scared to make decisions. We don't want to make the wrong decision. So it's easier to say, oh, I want to think about it, which is basically just kind of a brush off, kind of a reflex. It's easier to say, I want to think about it, than it is to say yes or no. Because if you say yes or no, you're risking making a bad decision. But if you say no, I want to think about it, give me more time, you're just stalling. You haven't made a commitment either way, so there's really no risk in that. It's much easier for them to say not now than to say yes or no. And you guys get a lot of not nows. Not now is the toughest one. They're really close, but not now. I want to think about it. Call me next week. I want to shop around. I want to check with someone else. I mean, almost all of them are some. The common objections that we get in our business today are some form of a stall. Almost all of them are some form of not now. And that can mean a lot of different things. So, again, what is an objection? It's a reason for not buying. It's an excuse for not buying. So you want to learn to convert that and understand. It's a question, it's a request for more information. What they're saying is, I mean, when you get an objection, when you ask, say, great, how's that sound? And they say, well, it sounds great, but. That's right, when they deliver their objection, right? Do you know why they didn't buy, specifically? And you guys, you can't be vague. You got to nail it down. I mean, it's only going to be, it's this, or it's this. There's only a limited number of excuses that are in the book that can ever possibly come up. So that one that you did this morning, it didn't buy, do you really know what it was? Why did you miss that deal? What was between you and them in order? And is that really a problem that's insurmountable? Is it really that big of a deal that you can't overcome it? So, but you've got to know what it is. What is the problem? What's between you and me and the deal? So let's say I'm calling up my friends, and I call up my buddy, and I say, hey, you want to go golfing on Saturday? And the guy says, oh, no. People don't just generally say, no, thanks for calling, see ya. It's usually no because, right? In dealing with your friends. Why not? Oh, I already got plans. I just don't feel like it. I left my clubs at my friend's house. I don't know. What are the objections? I don't want to spend the money. Who knows? Okay? What's their objection? Their reason for not going? You're not going because you don't have any clubs? That's it? Dude, we can work around that. I got a spare set. We can rent a set. We can call up Pete and get his. If it's only that, let's go golfing, man. Right? Guy gave me an objection? Pretty easy to overcome. But unless I know what the problem is, I can never work it out. I can't think of you being a problem solver. You're the assistant buyer. Your job is just to eliminate problems. Your job is to get to the yes or no. So if you understand what the objection is, and if you run into an objection you can't overcome, boom, you hit the wall, game over. It either ends when you get an objection that you can't solve, or they say, I'll take it. That's what closing is. It's getting to a yes or a no. I want to share another thing, and I want to come back to that. Don't let me forget the golf story right there for a second. So you're cruising down the presentation road here, and you ask them to buy. You guys ask confidently, ask with poise, ask with enthusiasm, ask with a positive expectancy in your tone. Ask for the order like everybody that you've ever asked always says yes. Ask like you can even fathom the possibility they'd ever say no. Great, how's that sound? It sounds good, doesn't it? You guys fake it till you make it. Be a pro. Pros are easy to buy from. Professional salespeople are easy to do business with. So when you get to the end and you ask her, great, so we take all the cards, which one do you want to put that on? No big deal. I mean, ask just like it's a natural, you know, part of the process. Great, hey, we take all the cards, which one to put that on? Even if you kind of think deep down they're not ready to say yes, still ask like you're expecting a yes. Okay? You don't say, you don't really want to get that, do you? No, I didn't think so. Does that make sense? Okay? Ask for the positive expectancy, even if you're expecting an objection, because most people that buy give us objections. Only a small percentage of our clients bought without an objection. Oh, yeah, sure, here's my credit card number. The majority, and I would say, and I've done informal and formal surveys, that about 75 to 80% or more of our clients that are our customers today voiced at least one objection in the closing process. They said, I want to think about it. They said, I got to shop around. They said, how do I know you're legit? They said, I could make my own. They said, I want to run it by my wife. 75 to 80% of them said something other than, yes, I'll do it, when we first asked them to buy. But the salesperson said, hey, no problem. Okay, well, hey, let's take a look at what that is. What's on the table here between you and me? Let's see if we can work it out. Back to the golf club thing. Oh, it's only the clubs? I got a spare set. No problem. Anything else? Cool, let's go. I'll pick you up. Nail the objection and go. Okay? So you ask for the order, and only one of two things are going to happen. They're going to say yes or no. Okay? If they say yes, done deal, get the credit card number. If they say no, they're popping up this little wall. They're giving you this objection. Think of it as an obstacle. The goal's over here. The money's over here. You cruise along trying to get to the money. They give you an objection. They pop up this objection. Let's role play the golf thing. Oh, I don't have any clubs. I left them up at my friend's house. Do you want to golf? I mean, other than that, are you interested? Yeah. Great. Well, you know what? We can use my dad's clubs. Or we can get you a rental set at the club. Whatever. Okay. You gave me an objection. I overcame it. Done deal. Okay. So how's that sound? Do you want to go? In other words, after I offered my solution, I'm going to ask for the order again. So he said, oh yeah, clubs. Well, people give you what's called a false objection all the time, just out of convenience. Okay, let's say the root of the thing is that the guy's broke and he doesn't want to admit it. He doesn't want to go spend $100 on a round of golf. So he said, oh yeah, it's my clubs. He throws that out on the table. And that's a pretty easy one to go, boom, right off the table, right? So, hey, well, you know, maybe, huh? And now all of a sudden, the second objection starts to surface. Because I'm digging in deeper, I'm pulling the layers back, and what am I finding as I get to the root of the issue? It wasn't the clubs, it was money. So I overcome the club one, and I ask for the order again, and he goes, well, you know, here's my next objection, it's really money. Now I'm back into a wall. Now I got an opposite of him. So I'm either going to overcome that and get an order, or I'm going to overcome that and get another objection, or I'm not going to overcome it and it's game over right there. You guys see how that works? Okay? So objections are temporary roadblocks in many cases, but sometimes they're permanent roadblocks. That's your job to get a yes or no. Don't get pulled into this on and on and on, call me back, I want to think about it stuff. You'll be chasing them forever. I don't know if you guys have seen any of those guys, the old veterans, binders and files full of chasers. They're this thick. Your job is to get a yes or no now. I don't want to waste my time calling you and calling you. If you're in, let's do it. We've already spent an hour and a half here total. Let's make a decision. Hey, if it's no, I'm a big boy. I can deal with that. No big deal. It's not that big a deal to me. Hey, if you're interested, let's work this thing out. Be direct. Be a business person. Don't be intimidated if you're dealing with these real estate agents. Just because many of them are older than your parents, possibly, don't that intimidate you. They don't know that. Okay? You're a professional. They're a professional. Part of the key to success in sales is connecting on the business person level. So if you're in awe that they're this business person and that they're 20, 30 years older than you and you're threatened and intimidated by that and you're talking up to them, if that makes, don't talk down to them, that'll piss them off, okay? But try to talk level with them. You're on their level. You are a professional internet consultant. They're a professional real estate agent. You have a service that they very much need, okay? And if you are not effective at getting the deal, the next guy that calls them will, and it's going to be our competitors, unfortunately, okay? So work with them. So I ask you to golf. You throw out this objection. Okay, it was a relatively easy one. I said golf clubs. Oh man, that's it. We can work around that. We got this other option. I gave him more information. I don't have clubs. Yes, you do. You want to go? Well, now he gives me another one. You guys see how that'll happen? You'll get two or three objections sometimes. You overcome one or two, and then you'll get one you can't overcome. Some are easy. Some are hard. You got to memorize the scripts. Okay, got to memorize the script. We got them all. Okay, so I ask you to golf. You say clubs. Okay, I say I got a spare set, and all of a sudden you start saying, well, you know what? And now you start giving me some other thing. Okay, so, well, really, I just don't want to go below $100 because you know I know to go golf at Torrey Pines is $95, and I really just don't want to blow $100 right now. Times are tough. Do people necessarily want to tell you that? No. Okay. What if you know there's a lot of objections? They don't want to tell you. Because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Okay? What if, I want to be really direct with you guys to make the point here. Let's say, okay, that you have done or said things or acted in such a way that they don't have a high level of trust in your ability as a business person. That's very, very harsh. I'm not saying that's the case at all. But if that was it, if it was you or your lack of poise, what if you're kind of wimpy on the phone or kind of timid or you said some things that didn't make sense or your communication skills weren't very good and you lost them way back when or you weren't listening to their needs that they were voicing and they were kind of resentful of that? They're trying to make this point and you're not listening to them because new reps tend to steamroll people, if you know what I mean, on the presentation. They don't want to go through the presentation so much. It's a one-way thing instead of a conversation. Okay? Are they going to jump out and say, you know what, I'm just not comfortable doing business with you? They're probably not going to say that. Because they don't, you know, they want to be respectful of your feelings. They don't want to hurt your feelings. What if they think your company's no good? Are they necessarily going to say, oh, I don't think your company's any good? That might be rather insulting, so it might just be easier for them just not to tell you their objection than to give it to you. And then they give what's called a false objection. So here's what happens. Their real problem is objection A, but they're voicing objection B. And you're trying to overcome objection B. But their real problem is objection A. I'll work with you on this club thing, but the problem is money. Am I going to get anywhere if I'm barking up a tree? I'm barking up the wrong tree. I'm trying to solve a problem you don't even have. So part of the key to being a good closer and becoming effective at handling objections is learning how to isolate or pinpoint or confirm the objection. Write that down. Isolate, pinpoint, or confirm the objection. Even if you feel you know the answer to it, in other words, you have the comeback. Don't just jump right on it. Slow down and communicate and confirm. Okay, so it's this, Now, I tend to just take it one step further. Great. Before we go there, anything else? I got you, man. Is there anything else? In other words, I know I got the answer to this problem right here. I'm going to knock it right off the table. Hey, is there anything else? You know, other than the money part of it, I'm back to my golf analogy. I'm closing my friend on golfing, okay? That, other than the money part, is there anything else? I got two free passes. It's free anyway. Let's go. That's too easy, okay? But I just want you to see that sometimes their objections just magically go away with a little bit of more information. Oh, I don't know if your company is legit. I once got scammed by some guy with the phone. And all of a sudden, they don't want to do business over the phone is their objection. And you go and you do the online BBB talk, if you have heard that. And, hey, we've been around for this long, and we're a profitable company. We've got 3,000 clients. We've got over 65 employees. We got clients in all 50 states. We are, you know, we're professionals in this area. Blah, blah, blah. You give your company talk, okay, and all of a sudden maybe they say, well, gosh, okay, yeah, all right. You got fired up, man. You believe in your company. Cool, I'm just making sure. I'll do it. You see how sometimes just a little bit more information was all they needed. That's what an objection is. It's a question. It's a request for more information. So the guy says, you know, back to my golf thing. So he says, oh, I don't want to go. I don't have my clubs. I'm like, okay, well, we can work that out because I got a spare set. I find out that it was a pretty easy objection to overcome. So, great, let's go golfing. He says, well, you know what it really is? It's really money. Okay? Okay, so it's between you and me and going golfing. I mean, you want to go, it's just the money? Yeah, well, you know, I had to pay my taxes, and I had to pay all this money to the IRS, so I'm really tight right now, because, you know, I had to pay like $5,000, all these taxes, and blah, blah. You know, I'll go in a couple weeks and I get paid. Well, you know what? I really want to golf this weekend, man. I really want to go. How about this? How about if I pay this time, and then in 2 weeks we go, you pay? I'll cover you, and then you cover me next time. Fair enough? In other words, I'll just pay your way, and you pay me later. How's that sound? That's really cool, man. Okay, thanks. Now I'm golfing. If he wanted to go, let's make it easy to let him go golfing. If the guy does not want to go golfing, nothing I'm going to do or say is going to get him to go golfing. I'm not trying to know when to a yes. I'm just trying to get the possibles. You guys see that? There's a certain percent that are no. There's a certain percent that are automatic, easy ones. But there's a bunch that are just, they're not sure yet. They're kind of on the fence. Like a surgeon, you got to go in, remove the problem. Great. How's that sound? Ask the order again. Just so what I'm saying is find the problem, solve it. Give them more information. Okay? And again, if you want to get specific, and are these guys the same guys being in the video tomorrow? Okay, I would encourage that because what I'll do tomorrow we'll go into all the specific objections. In other words, we'll do part two of this message, okay, which will be a separate tape and video, but it'll be how to handle specific objections. And we'll dive into the individual ones. Okay, so I'm not going into how to handle I want to think about it, how to handle like not now. Okay, I'm just talking about objections in general. See, just this understanding and awareness that how close you might be right there. When I said the club thing, a couple of you guys' expression was, wow, that was easy. Oh, the free pass one, that was too easy. It's sometimes it's that easy. You're right there. And they just voice this objection, so this wall goes up, and you're like, whoa, there's a wall. But it was like a little paper wall. You know what I mean? You just like touch it, and the whole thing comes across. Wow, I mean, so you might be like one little chip away from getting a deal and not even knowing it if you don't know what objections are and then what overcoming them is. So you got to learn to isolate, pinpoint, confirm the objection. So, just between you and me, the only thing that's keeping us from golfing is the darn money? That's it? Dude, I just got a huge bonus, man. I'm treating. Because you know what? Remember back when you did this and this for me and we went skiing and you floated me that $100, man. I'm paying you back tomorrow. Let's go. You in? Ask for the order after you handle the objection. Come back asking. So, are you in? Well, you know, I got to check with my girlfriend because Saturday we're supposed to go to the concert and, you know, she wants me to go do this thing and hana. Okay. So I overcame the money and guess what? I ask again and all of a sudden, boom, I got other plans. Holy smokes, he ain't got many more. You see what I mean? It's usually, you know, so it really wasn't the clubs. And it really wasn't the money. Or it was the clubs and I solved, and it was the money and I solved. In other words, they were legitimate concerns. I don't have any clubs. Yes, you do. I don't have the money. You don't need it. You're working with them. I'm not cornering you. I'm not pressuring you. I'm not, you know, back in a corner and saying buy or die. I'm just trying to work with you and trying to help you to buy something you want to buy. There's a couple obstacles in the way. What's the problem? Boom. That's it. Let's see if we can solve it. Have a no problem attitude. Wait, write that one down, you guys. Have a no problem attitude. When they give you an objection, your automatic reflex response should be, oh, no problem. We can work around that. Is there anything else? You guys said a little, is there anything else? What is that doing? I'm trying to say, that's it. All I got is this one more. There's not three more back here. It's just that. I would try to kind of confirm it. Sometimes they'll wiggle. You handle that, they give me another one. Because by saying, is that it, you're kind of saying, is that a firm objection, or is that one of these kind of false or knee-jerk reaction objections? Okay? So isolate it, pinpoint it, clarify it, ask questions about it. Okay? So, oh yeah, my girlfriend this or that, the other thing, well, hey, I don't know if I'm going to try to talk my friend out of spending time with his wife or his girlfriend on Saturday, by the way. That I might have now hit a dead end. Okay, don't try because I really want to golf. And if this is my friend, I close heck out of him. He's not going to get mad, and I'm not going to, high pressure. We're not going to say anything dumb or rude or anything here. So, hey, I got a 7 o'clock tee time. Okay, dude, we'll be first off. We'll be around 3.5 hour round. We'll be done at 10:30. We'll be back at 11. Okay, I didn't tell you, but we're done at 7. Normally we golf at 2, Okay, but since I got the 7 o'clock thing, then maybe, you could still do your thing. Does that work? Do you see how just since I've served up that possibility, in that real scenario, a certain percentage of that, oh yeah, we're back 11, I'm in. Do you see how sometimes when you offer the new information, there's still, oh cool, I didn't know, yeah. You got clubs, I'm in. You got a free pass, I'm in. You're going to pay my way, hell yeah. Oh, we're back at 11, I'm done. I'm in. See, they don't have all the information. Just a one little teeny, a little bit of information can be like, oh cool, yeah. Oh, you guys had a satisfaction guarantee, and you guys are backed by the BBB, and you guys have a good track record? I just want to talk to a couple of your customers. So why don't you give me some email addresses, and I'll do some research, and then call me next week. Look, is that the only thing? Is really the only thing between you and me and doing business is that you're just not sure if we're legitimate? Is that really it? You're just scared of being ripped off by some scam company. Is that what's really between us from doing business? Is that it? That's easy to handle. Yeah, that's it. So give me a few emails, and I'll call some of your clients. I just want to check your references. No problem. Let me tell you what. You've been very difficult to get on the phone. We've spent an hour and a half between our time yesterday and our time today. We've got together an hour and a half each, a total of 3 hours of business time, an hour and a half of your time, an hour and a half of mine, invested in this. How about if we try to bring this thing to closure today? If you're really interested, here's all I need to do. I just do a three-way call to some of our clients. I'll go over to customer service. I'll get a list of some of our clients. We'll call two or three of them right now. Let's get this thing done. Let's decide yes or no. Why put it off? I don't want to carry over to next week, and if you're really serious about saving that $100, we got to get you started today. So I don't want to just, I'll take 5 or 10 extra minutes to save you $100. If you're serious that you're interested, let's move forward and get to a yes or no today. How's that sound? All of a sudden, like, man, you're easy to do business with. You're professional. You're straightforward. It's being aggressive. It's not being pushy. Just be aggressive. How do you think they are when they're coming to close in $40 million homes? You think these guys are pussyfooting around? They're closers. They're professional salespeople. They understand the routine. As a matter of fact, if you're wimpy and timid, they're going to be less likely to do business with you because they're going to know that you're not very good at what you do, and we like to work with people that are pros. Either we're going into a store and you know you're dealing with a rookie, you're like, can I talk to the old guy? You guys know what I mean? Okay, we like to deal with professionals. Okay, so, they give you an objection. Isolate it, overcome it, give them more information. Ask for the order again. Sometimes you're going to overcome another one. Now, I'll tell you what right here. Back to my golf analogy, because that one's working pretty good for me. Is that analogy working for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. So, 11 o'clock. So he's like, no clubs? Clubs. Cool. Thanks. I can use your dad's clubs. He's got those really cool TaylorMades, right? Yeah. Now he's stoked. I mean, his objection is what he thought was perceived as a problem just turned into, talk about 180. He perceived it as a negative, and he's going to be using clubs that are worth 10 times the money what his clubs might have been. You guys see what I mean? Sometimes an objection can reverse so much with just a little bit more information. Then he says, I can't afford it. I said, hey, I'll pay this round, you pay, let's go in 2 weeks, and you pay that. Okay? Cool. Again, easy solution. And all of a sudden that, the tee time's at 7? If I'd have known that, I would never even have given you that objection. Okay? So now we're going, cool, yeah, we're in, let's go. You got my gloves, you're paying my way, and you're having me home at 11 o'clock, right? Yep, we're in. Now, deal's closed. I'm going to work through objections until I can't do it anymore, until I'm done, until I hit an objection I can't overcome. Like, I threw out my back yesterday, and the chiropractor told me to stay in bed for 3 days. So I can't golf. Okay, that's like, boom! I mean, done. But how many of those do you ever get? I mean, just like, no way. I don't think you get very many of those because there's not very many of those out there. They wouldn't be on this, they never would have gone through the close with you if they were that, you know, adamant. Okay? But anyway, some were easy, some of them were hard. So now let's go back to this scenario, and we're going golfing tomorrow or Saturday. I've got a more solid deal here because I worked him through all these problems. What I mean by that is the more objections that you solve, the more service you're providing, the more you're holding their hand through the rough waters of the decision process. So now you have a more solid decision because they've voiced all their concerns, and but they've been answered. Now they feel good about their decision because they've thought it all through and they've taken the time to really think this through and get more information. Whereas I just called and said, yeah, okay, hey, I'll go. All of a sudden he's like, gosh, I'm short on cash. Oh no, I don't have any clubs. Oh my gosh, I'm supposed to go with my girlfriend out on Saturday. Oh no, all of a sudden the phone's ringing and it's you going, I don't know if I can golf on Saturday. You see how when the objections are out on the table and handled, you have a more solid sale. I'm going away from golf now, okay? If you go through a presentation and you say, how's that sound? They say, how do I know your company is legit? You say, oh, man, let me tell you about our company. Boom, and you give them another killer company talk. Maybe in your presentation it was here, maybe now it was here, okay? So now it's like, well, okay, great, so how's that sound? Well, it sounds pretty good, but you know what? I really want to run this by my buddy, my associate, because he just bought a website a few months ago. I think it's doing pretty good for him, so I want to get his opinion on this. So he objected about the company, but I gave a company talk, I gave him more information, that objection just went away. Now I still need to check with someone else. Now, I want to check with someone else, guess what? We've got a really good comeback, so I want to check with someone else, that'll be tomorrow's training, okay? So, blah, there it is. Whoa, okay, cool, I don't really need to check with someone else. How's that sound? That sounds cool, let's do it. There's no buyer's remorse now, because the concerns that they would have had were out on the table and communicated and handled. They feel better about their decision if they get to voice objections and you handhold them through it. It's a more solid deal. You're providing the service of helping them to make a comfortable decision. That's what being an effective closer is. It's not turning a no into a yes. It's not when the guy says, oh, my back's out, I can't go golfing, I'm still beating him up, still trying to talk him into it. That's a waste of breath right there, isn't it? Okay. So you're working with the ones that are interested to convert interest into orders. Isolate the problem and overcome that. Now, we're going to give you tomorrow all sorts of, oh, and by the way, take the, is that it? Approach whenever you can. That's kind of be your mindset. So how does that sound? Sounds great, but, oh, okay. And by the way, rephrase their objection. That's a good basic. When they say, well, you know, I never really decide on the first time and I don't want to be a spur-of-the-moment guy, so the way I do is I think about things. I never buy on the first time. You guys heard that one yet? Okay? So let's say that's their objection. Oh, okay. So what you're saying is you want to be really careful because you don't want to make a snap decision. You want to be really informed and take your time, make sure you're making a calculated, wise decision. Is that really what you're saying? Okay. Setting that aside, okay, is there anything else that, I'm coming back, don't worry, is there anything else you have any concerns or questions or anything else you need more information on? Nope, that's it. Firm. Okay, so what did I just do? Setting that aside, is there anything else? No, I'm probing around, I'm looking around. I'm trying to figure out what's back here. Okay, oh, okay. Man, I don't know if you guys see it coming, but that's a pretty darn easy close. That objection right there. Okay, well, let me tell you, Mr. Prospect, let me tell you something that's really important that I communicate to you. And by the way, you know, whether you're comfortable moving forward today or not, that's really your decision. No problem. I'm not going to sit here and pressure you and try to talk you into something you don't want to do. Don't worry. What am I doing right there? I'm taking pressure out. I'm making it a comfortable. I'm being a good communicator. I'm not backing this guy into a corner. Hey, no problem. No big deal. Hey, no problem. You know what? Something that's interesting, though, is a lot of, you know, let me just review something with you. One of the reasons that the company has me do what we call an open, which is our interview that we had on the phone 2 days ago, okay, and then call back and do the presentation. One of the reasons that we do that is to give people time to think about the process of improving their internet presence over a couple day period instead of all in one shot. When we did our test marketing, we tried calling people, doing the little interview, doing the open, and doing the presentation all in one call. And it was so spur of the moment, we cold called you, and all of a sudden, 45 or 60 minutes later, we're asking you for a $500 credit card. And it was pretty easy for people to say, hey, well, hey, that's kind of a snap decision, that's kind of an impulse buy. That's one of the reasons that we've actually broken it into two, so you have some time to really think about it and really understand. Remember I talked about those three things you got to do? Got to get your own domain, got to get in search engines, you got to get going on the internet, right? Okay, well, that makes sense. I'm sure you agree with that. Well, that's one reason we broke this into two. So it is more of a thought-out and calculated process. And by the way, the company pays me to take my time. You know, kind of our niche here is that we're willing to take, you know, gosh, between our time yet, 2 days of Tuesday and today, we've spent probably, what, an hour and a half together now? The reason the company pays me to spend 90 minutes with you is to give you all the information that you need to make a wise and practical business decision and to feel comfortable making that decision. And whether it's yes or no, that's my job, is to take my time so it's an educated decision. And what you just said is you want to make sure you're doing the right thing and that you're making an educated, calculated decision. If you really think about it, this isn't an impulse decision. We've had 90 minutes worth of consultation and information here. And I've shown you all about the product, told you all about our company, how everything is going to work. And the reason the company pays me to take my time is to give you, make sure that you're in the best position to make a wise decision. Whether it's yes or no, my job is to put you in that position where you're in a good position to either say yes or no. Now, was there anything else that you needed more information on at all?
Well,
great, let's get you started. What did I just say? You don't need to think about it. Dude, come on, $500, we just spent 90 minutes. I'm not trying to sell you a new house or car here, let's go. And some people, I would say it just like that, too, if I had the right rapport. I mean, if it was my friend about golf, I'd be like that. I'm not going to soften it up and, you know, you guys know what I mean? But sometimes you, in closing sales, you really got to soften it up because you don't have the relationship with these people. But if I'm trying to ask these guys I work with closely, man, I'm very direct. I don't butter it up very much at all, okay? So I would just say, hey, you know, if Chris was giving that, I'd say, Chris, let's say that... Let's just say that we're talking about the company ski trip. Oh, look, watch this. Infomercial. Company ski trip coming up to your birthday party. And let's say that Chris saying, you know, well, by the time that, you know, I pay for my, you know, transportation in my room, you know, that's going to be, what, $200, $250? And then lift tickets at Mammoth are like $50 a day. That's 3 days. And I got to go out and rent a board. Skis, please. But boards, you know, hey, try to keep up. Chris? These guys, I'm talking to the guy behind the video camera, okay? Try to keep up, okay? But, you know, gosh, you know, $500, by the time we go out and party and all that, you know, maybe the trip's going to cost me $400. $400. Chris, talking about $500, it's the company trip, 3 days, and we talk about it forever. Are you out of your freaking mind? It's $400, let's go! What are you thinking? Now, see, I might say that with Chris or Fred or whatever. I'm not going to talk like that to a client. You see what I mean? But that's the point I might make. I just softened it down. So instead of saying, what do you mean you need to think about it, dude? It's $400. We spent 90 minutes. This is no snap decision. I can't say it like that. But isn't that what I communicated? Didn't I articulate in a soft and professional, non-threatening manner? I took like 2 minutes to say, dude, 90 minutes, $400. Any other questions? They pay me to take my time, so you don't say this. Anything else? But I said it in 2 minutes and I softened it up. And that's what learning how to overcome objections is. It's being an effective communicator and knocking their guards down. Because if I say, oh, come on, it's $400, a lot of people's guards are going to go up. I don't know about you, but when people pressure me, I just back off and just the wall goes up. You know what I mean? But what you want to learn to be an effective closer is you got to learn how to knock the walls down by being an effective communicator and taking pressure out of it. Okay? So, to review, got to become a great handler of... An important part of being a great closer is learning how to handle objections. You got to get good at it. You got to go out and you got to learn all these scripts. That'll be tomorrow's training, and there's a whole other video just on the scripts. That's what we'll do tomorrow. We'll go through these individually. Okay? What is an objection? It's an excuse for not buying. It's their reason for not buying. It's a request for more information. How about this, you guys? Remember when I converted the objection into a question, how much easier it sounded to respond to? That was pretty cool, wasn't it? Okay? Play this game. It might make it easier for you to close. Okay? Let's give an objection. I'm going to give two extremes. Okay? Well, you know, I never heard of your company. How do I know your company is legit? I want to check you guys out. Why don't you call me back on Monday? There's one extreme. Okay? When they're really probably thinking, and again, convert it into the most positive thing possible. You know what? gosh, the reason I've spent this 90 minutes with you, the reason I've listened to your sales pitch, Mr. Sales Rep, is because I'm really interested in getting a better website. When you called me the other day and you said, are you interested in improving your... So what's happening, and the reason that this is building like this, is they're looking at the benefits. They're looking right over here at this wall, and they're going, that's good, that makes sense, yeah, that makes sense, yes, I need it, yes, I'd love to integrate it into my marketing, yes, I'd love to make an extra $9,000 by selling a $300,000 home. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, your company's good. Yeah, gosh, I am missing out. Wow, I need to learn about search engines. Yeah, I need my own domain. Yes, yeah, wow. They're over here. They're looking at that. But when you ask them to buy, all of a sudden, they're looking at money. Or do I have enough information? Or am I comfortable moving forward? Or do I really know enough about the internet to say I'll take this? You know, am I just making a blind buy here? And now they're looking over here. What rebuilding does, it's like, hey, yo, dude, don't forget all this stuff. Oh, yeah, wow, okay. In other words, you can get them even more fired up than they were just a few minutes ago just by kind of going, whoa, don't forget all this stuff, man. And that's a good, really good visual, my little turning all around. I think it's okay. And you guys are listening on tape. You can't see my visual here. But they're looking at one side, and that all sounds good. Yeah, that makes sense. When you say, hey, give me your credit card number. Wait a minute. Now I'm having second thoughts. I'm thinking this through a little bit. Let me look at the other side here. Okay, so to be an effective closer, what you got to do is you've got to be effective at going, hey, yo, don't forget all the benefits back over here. So it's like, hey, we can work with all that, but let's go back. Oh, yeah, wow, yeah, yeah, yeah. You see what I mean? Okay, so that's what rebuilding is. So you get an objection. The standard default way to rebuild is to really rephrase your three things talk. And ask some questions. So right here, your three things talk should really be your standard rebuilding method. So I say, so great, we take all the major cards, Visa, MasterCard, American Express, which one do you want to put that on? Whoa, whoa, hey, Steve, whoa, I'm not ready yet, hold on here. Whoop, drops down a little bit right off the bat. Okay. You know, gosh, Steve, I got to tell you, I'm not ready to do this. Okay, I didn't tell you I was going to do this. And, okay, no problem. Just help me out. What's keeping you from moving forward? Okay, in other words, that probing should be comfortable and natural. Okay? Hey, just help me out. What's keeping you from moving forward? Well, Steve, I got to tell you what is, you know, blah, whatever their objection is. I really feel I need to get some more information. You know, I'm kind of new to this internet stuff, and I got to tell you, I don't really understand this stuff, and I really need to go out and get another opinion. Because, you know, my son, he's a student. He makes web pages. So what I'm going to do is really get his opinion on this. Okay, whatever. So objection is voiced. Now, if I jump right in and go for that objection right now, just kind of go for the kill, it's a little abrupt, it's a little aggressive, okay, and their guards might go up because that's what we expect from a salesperson. When I give my reason not to buy it, I kind of expect you to jump on me, kind of steamroll me, go for the throat, so to speak. And if you do that, I'm going to tend to back up consciously and subconsciously. My wall's going to go up and be a little resistant. I might get a little nervous here. It's a little awkward. I'm being sold. Whoa. Red flags, right? So one of the things about rebuilding, it's eliminating pressure. Okay? It's eliminating pressure. So I got to check with my son. He makes what they... Hey, okay. Hey, no problem. Always give them their objection, if that makes sense. Give them that slack. If you're fishing and the fish starts going the other way and you pull on the thing, you snap the line or you pull the hook out. So what do they say when you're fishing? What do? You let the fish run a little bit. Great analogy right there. So they give him objection, let him go. Zzz, let that line roll, let him run. But if you all of a sudden pull back, okay, you got to see the challenge there. Don't be too aggressive. So when they voice their objection, acknowledge it, listen, communicate. Hey, no problem. Okay, hey, no big deal. Ah, cool, okay, good. You're not going to stick me in a corner here. Okay, cool. Hey, no problem. Now, so right off the bat, you want to acknowledge it, slow down, maybe even rephrase it, okay? But let me show you how to rebuild this thing. Okay, hey, no problem. By doing the three things talk before I handle your objection, I'm rebuilding, I'm turning you back around, having you look at the positives, I'm bringing you back up here to being interested, and that's when I try to close, not there. So when you get an objection, listen, slow down, no problem, do a three things talk, and you don't always have to. That's kind of the default one. There's other ways to rebuild, but to keep it general and effective right now, in other words, what you do is you review their hot buttons. And their hot buttons are always different. Hey, well, hey, no problem. I know you're really interested in getting that relocation business, or I know you're really interested in getting a competitive edge. In other words, I could remind you of your hot buttons to rebuild too. Probably more effective because it's more personalized, it's more specific to you. But it kind of is a deep, for now, while you learn this stuff, the three things talk is kind of the beginner's rebuilding. Okay? So, yeah, my son does well. Okay, no problem. All right, no problem. Okay, cool. All I want to do is start getting a little bit of agreement from you here and kind of reestablishing the positive momentum. So things were going positive. I was looking over here at all the benefits. I asked you to buy. It turned to negative because you said no. Okay. I just simply want to lead you back over to here and have you look back over there at all those positive things and remind you of why you were so fired up 30 seconds ago before I asked you and you kind of started to hedge a little bit. Okay. Hey, no problem at all. Okay. So you want to go towards some general agreement. Hey, excellent. By the way, I really appreciate your time. Okay. What am I doing is I'm even going to act a little defeated. Because I'm trying to eliminate any pressure whatsoever. So if hey, no problem, I really appreciate your time and all that. I'm not ending the call right now, but I'm letting them see that I'm listening. Okay? And by kind of acting defeated, it looks like I'm kind of giving up, so to speak, and I'm far from that, by the way. It just disarms you a little bit. Hey, no problem, no big deal. And by the way, I do appreciate your time. Okay? Just tell me how it's keeping you from moving forward. Boom, my son, websites, da-da-da-da. Okay, hey, no problem. Okay. Well, hey, look, remember we talked yesterday, we talked about those three key things, okay? And let me just review those for you, okay? Number one, we talked about getting your own domain, okay? Do you see the value? And of course, you guys, if they already have their own domain and you're giving them, you need your own domain talk, you're really looking dumb. Okay, you got to be on the fly here. You got to be flexible. So you're not giving a domain talk if they already have it, right? You're not talking about search engines if they know they're already in them and they're getting hits. You got to be a chameleon. It's one of the hardest things of sales in general is being a chameleon and adjusting to different environments and people and personalities and circumstances and situations. And you got to be quick on your feet, and you got to just change quick. It's like a chameleon. You got to be able to change your color to your environment. Okay, so that's just sales in general. When you guys start getting into, let's say, for example, our custom department, my gosh, every product that you're trying to sell was different than the last one. Every business that you're calling on was different than the last one. One guy's a shoe store, one guy's a sunglass store, one guy's a restaurant, one guy's an attorney. Do you see the chameleon analogy there? So when you're first learning, you need to be the chameleon in terms of different attitudes, different personalities, different situations. You got to adjust on the fly. Okay? But what happens when the business is different? Or their internet knowledge. One guy doesn't know what a domain is, and the next guy, he's already published 200 web pages himself and has forgot more than you know. How do you handle that? So much of it's situational. We talked about that last time, too. So anyway, where I'm going with all this is, let's assume that they don't have their own domain. Okay, sweet. So again, I'm trying to show you the concept of rebuilding. And if you're in the insurance business, this is going to be different. And if they already have their own domain, you've got to rebuild on more specific to their situation. Pull hot buttons from the open out. So take this concept and apply it to your own circumstance. Okay, so take the concepts I'm about to spew here and grab them and tweak them a little bit if that makes sense. So, we talked about the domain thing. Does that make sense to you? Does it make sense that the domain that you have right now is limiting because with, let's just say it's realtor.com/California/San Diego %, area code, or zip code, you know, Mike Smith. Okay, obviously that's limiting because you can't put that on your business cards. And you can't really integrate that into your marketing because your domain is just so long, it's just impractical, and it's very limiting right there. So obviously agree you need your own domain, right? I'm going to ask the rebuilding thing, there's the three things talk, I'm going to turn those into questions. Yes, I do need that. Yes, I do need that. Yeah, I do. Gosh, yeah. In other words, you're looking back over here. All this stuff that you're, I don't know if I know enough about it, but I do need a domain. I do need searching. I do need to start learning about this stuff. Those questions are turning them around and getting them to look back at the benefits. Now let's talk about questions versus statements for a minute. This is really, really important. If I say something, if I make a statement, if I say, you need your own domain, versus, do you see the importance of having your own domain? What's the difference in the power of statements versus questions? If I say it, you can doubt it, fight it, or disagree. If I ask the right question and you say it, there's nothing to doubt because, of course, if you believe it, it's a fact, even if it's not true. If you think that Pearl Jam's the greatest band in the history of the world, Okay, that's what you think. That's your opinion. But if I say Pearl Jam's the greatest band in the history of the world, okay, you can fight it or doubt it because it's my thinking. I don't want to, you know, to be an effective communicator, an effective persuader, effective salesperson, I don't want to be throwing my thinking on you. I want to lead you to your own thinking. We'll advance there. You guys get that? Questions are pulley. Statements are pushy. Learn to be pulley. So if I can make a point by asking you a question and getting you to answer it in the way that I predict you're going to, that is super effective because now it's your thinking. If it's your thinking, it's a fact. Okay? If I'm playing football in the video, I'm losing my train of thought, but I thought it'd be pretty cool for the video to see some football playing. Okay? But if I ask a question and you answer it with the answer I'm predicting, man, that's power because it's your thinking. But if I say it, you can fight it or doubt it or question it. Okay? So, blah, 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 blah. Do you see the importance of having your own domain and how that can make integrating your website into your whole program more effective? Yes. When you say yes to that, what did I just do? I notched you back up a little bit I'm getting you back turned around here on focusing on the benefits. Okay? Now, we talked about search engines. And again, hey, I already recognize they're overrated. Okay, I'm emphasizing a little bit more from our conversation yesterday. But obviously, you need to get registered in search, and so at least you have a fighting chance. And learn to say it like that. See, every time I talk about search engines, you guys are always going to see, I always have my little asterisk there, that hey, so at least you have a fighting chance. What am I saying? I'm not overselling search engines. Be very careful. The typical tendency is to oversell search engines because they're very easy to oversell search engines because their expectancy for search engines is so unrealistic already. So it's kind of easy to fall for that. So don't fall for that. Okay? But obviously, do you see the importance of getting registered in the search engine so at least you have a fighting chance of that relocation business finding you or someone finding you? Yes. I definitely need to get in search engine. You guys, see, they're saying, yes, I'm asking the question, and what are they thinking? In other words, I'm not forcing my thinking on you. I'm asking a question that's prompting the thought out of your own brain, therefore it's a fact. If you say it, it's a fact. If I say it, it's questionable. Very, very important communication training there. Okay. So do you see the importance of getting registered in search engines? Oh yeah, definitely. They notch up another notch here on the positive scale. And now I'm going to personalize it more to your situation. You had mentioned your average home is $500,000. Now, of course, not out of a smaller percentage are averaging $500,000 homes, but I'll just stick with that. You mentioned your average home is $500,000. Oh my gosh, just at 3%, and some you might make more, some you might make less, depending on your structure, but let's just use 3% as a working number. See how careful I was on my 3% thing there? Here's another really advanced thing. If you're in a situation where you make 2.5% because you have some split with your broker, you're some rookie guy on some special plan, or if you're a broker and you might make 4.5% or 6%, there's all sorts of different deals and percentages and splits going on out there. But if I say you make 3%, and you make 4.5 or you make only 2, what happens to your trust in me? What happens to my credibility? Because I made a statement that was just out of line. Okay, so at least, you might just kind of go, you don't even know what you're talking about. If right in the middle of close, you're thinking, you don't know what you're talking about, your comfort in doing business with me just almost went out the door. You gotta use precision in your words. Okay, so hey, maybe you make more, maybe you make less. I understand there's all sorts of different struggles. Let's just use 3% as a working number. See how conversational it's, in your clothes, it's not just saying the words, it's doing it the way that's comfortable. It's not just the words, it's the music. But just working at using a 3% working number, okay, at a $500,000 average sale, or a $500,000 average home, that's a $15,000 commission. Okay? That's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, I don't even have to ask a question. When I said it's a $15,000 commission, or a $5,000 commission for that matter, did I just kind of notch it back up again on the rebuilding thing? It's just that reminder. We already talked about it over here on the benefit part, hopefully. But gosh, yeah, if just one guy finds you, man, I can make a $15,000 commission. Oh, yeah, what am I doing? I'm leading them back over here. Right? Yeah, that's right. I'm just getting them to focus on the benefits. I'm not trying to talk this guy into buying something they don't want or need. I'm not trying to sell, army boots to a grandma.
Does that make sense? I mean, there's a need for our market here. I'm helping them here. Okay? So if they don't want it, they're not going to buy it, no matter how good of a closer I am. Okay? And then the third thing is really, we talked about yesterday, was integrating the internet into your business and really taking those steps to learn about the internet and to really learn how to work this into your business, not just now in this month and the rest of this year in the year 2001, but for the years to come. I mean, obviously the internet is going to be an integral part of your business moving forward, right? Yes. I got three or four agreements there. Each agreement gets them a little bit more focused over here on the benefits. Yeah, I do need own domain. Yeah, I do need search engines. Yeah, I do need to make some steps here. But I asked it instead of said it. Now, it'd be nice if I had all that typed out and scripted for you. I don't. But learn to do the three things talk as a rebuildding summary. Or hit their hot buttons. Let's just say that the guy in the open said, you know, oh, it's killing me that I'm not focused on this internet thing because you know what? I know I'm missing out. I know I'm getting my ass kicked because you know what? There's guys all over my office that are selling websites or selling homes to people they're finding through the internet through their website all the time. Yeah, I'm missing out for sure. So it's pretty clear. A little drama there, okay? But the guy's hot button is what? Fear of loss. I'm missing out. I'm getting smoked by everybody else. And that's his hot button. So in that particular case, what might I do to rebuild? I might say, and gosh, you know, you had mentioned yesterday that you're really missing out and you're really behind, okay? And gosh, I can really help you, you know, move forward, take the right steps. Great. Now, so the only thing keeping you from moving forward is you really want to check with your son. Now I go and do the objection stuff. You guys see that? Because if you're trying to close on the objection down here when they're focused on all that stuff over there, you don't have their attention. And it's a little aggressive because you're going right for it. So slow it down. No problem. Ask a couple questions revolving around the three things talk and their hot buttons. Ratchet it back up and now we'll start going into the objection. Yeah, I really want to check with my son. Okay. You ever heard the phrase, you got to believe in what you sell? Closing is selling them off their objection. Okay, so you've got to believe in what you're selling. So when I give you the answers to these objections, if you think these are a bunch of BS, you're not going to use them. So let me kind of sell you on the answers to the objections a little bit. And see, me selling you is not a very, that's going to build, so if someone's guarding them, no one wants to be sold. Okay, so let me rephrase that and be a little bit better of an example. Let's evaluate these objections and see how really good they might be. In other words, when you say I got to check with someone else, I personally believe so strongly that you don't need to check with someone else. That's a silly objection, okay? And I'm going to blow that one away so fast because that's just not the case. You don't need to check with someone else. I mean, I really, really believe you don't need to check with someone else. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute, but you're not going to be good at closing on, I want to check with someone else. Unless you really, really believe that they don't need to check with someone else. You can't sell something you don't believe in. So if I'm trying to sell you on the concept that, oh, no, you don't. If you don't believe that yourself, you're never going to be able to convey that. You're not going to be able to go tell me. Think of the worst movie you've ever seen. I mean, tell me a movie that just sucked. You, like, left or walked out.
Nine Deaths of a Ninja.
Nine Deaths of a Ninja, okay. Now, I've never even heard of it, okay. But it sucks. Okay. Now, right now, convince me of how good of a movie that is. Okay, right. Now, but so you see the point. If you don't believe in it, you can't do it. Okay. So if you really think they need to check with someone else and they give you that objection, they're going to win. Right? Okay. If you really think I want to think about it is a legitimate, reasonable situation, they're going to sell you that they need to think about it. In other words, a sale is made every time. You're selling them on moving forward or they're selling you on not moving forward. Someone's out communicating the other person every time. So if you think they need to think about it, you got a problem. If you think that, you know, gosh, maybe they can't afford it, you got a problem. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm just going to be pretty aggressive on my personal opinion on those three objections. Okay? I'll be very, very direct, and then I got to sell you on the answers to the objections way more than teaching the word track. Because if you believe in the movie, I don't need to tell you the words to share it with. Well, think of a hot movie. What's one of your favorite movies?
Good one.
Braveheart. Would it be very difficult for you to share with him how great a movie it is? Because you believe in it. And would it be pretty obvious to you that he really believes in it? Enthusiasm sells, conviction and belief sells, right? So I don't even need to tell you the words if I can make sure you got the right attitude about it. Okay? Would it be kind of awkward if I told you, okay, now, here's what I want you to do. Explain to him how great Braveheart is, but you have to use these words. That's kind of awkward and unnatural, right? Okay? You want to use the word tracks because they work, but if you believe in it, you don't need the script, if that makes sense. Okay? So let's try to get it at a deeper level than a script. You already got the script, so it's probably hanging up on your desk. Right? Probably. Okay? So let's get into the attitude behind it. So I'm going to be pretty aggressive. I wouldn't necessarily talk like this to a customer. Okay? But number one, I got to check with someone else. Oh my gosh, you guys. The reason that you have spent an average now of 90 minutes with them, okay? That is very expensive to our company. That's a big investment of your personal time. Think what percentage of your day or your week just went to this one darn customer. It's a lot of resources, okay? All that cold calling to finally get them on the phone. As a matter of fact, think of how many closes you did last week and then divide it by the number of hours you worked. And think of how many hours you invest to get one client. If you're going to let that one get away because they want to think about it, they got to check with someone else, man. You got to close it now. Time is of the essence. One time to close, it's now. You're never going to be closer, okay? So you need to think of someone. Here's why I don't think they need to check with someone else, okay? That someone else doesn't know anything about what we've talked about for the last 90 minutes. The reason that I've spent 90 minutes or 2 hours or an hour, however long it was, with you is to give you all the information that you need to make a wise decision. Whether it's yes or no. My job is to give you all the information that you need to decide whether it's yes or no. And since you're the one that I've spent that time with, who would be in a better position to decide if you need a website for your real estate business than you? Because your son knows about HTML or your broker has a website, okay? So you're gonna. What is the real question that you want to ask them? Is it, can I trust Z57? Is this the right company? Is my product any good? That's probably not what you're asking. What you're asking is, do you think I need a website? And when you go ask your son who makes HTML web pages, and you go ask your broker, do you think I need a website, what do you think the answer is going to be there? Well, do you want to be in business? Hell yes, you need a website. Of course you do. Okay? But I'm a trained professional. I will give you all the information that you need. If you have technical questions that I can't answer, I'll go get our tech guys on the phone. I'll bring in whatever resource I need to give you all the information that you need, but it's your decision, it's your business, and you're the one that we've invested 90 minutes with. And I've probably given you more information, more personalized attention on this website than probably anything you've invested in recently, and more. In other words, tell me the last time you got an hour and a half of personal information and a personal consultation for a $400 product. I don't know about you guys, I just bought a $1,000 stereo in about 15 minutes. There was no personal consultation. It said Sony. It held 400 CDs. I bought it. Okay, I didn't get into, how did all the stuff on the inside work and all that. All right? Can you guys, think about, where do you get this much information and personalized attention? So the reason I've given you all this information, it did the open, it did the needs assessment, and learned about your business, it took the time to understand that you're a buyer's agent, that you focus on condominiums, that you focus on vacation property, and the reason I've done all that was so that I could be in the best position to make a recommendation for it. Right? If we're only talking about $400, what the hell do you need to check with someone else for? That's my opinion. I would never say it like that, but I'm pretty adamant. You don't need to check with anyone else. It's your business. It's your decision, and I'm here for you as a resource. What? By the way, when I experimented with letting people check with someone else, back when I first started selling websites about 4 or 5 years ago over the phone, I said, I got to check with someone else. Well, I never experimented with letting them go on that, but if I couldn't close them, nope, going to check with someone else. I tried everything. Nope, going to check with someone else. Okay, well, last ditch, if you try everything you got and you can't overcome that objection, what do you do? Say, okay, well, you check with your someone else and I'll give you a call on Friday. Oh, boy, those come through. Okay, so you never get the guy on the phone on Friday, and if you ever do, they check with someone else. Now they've cooled off because all their reasons to buy, all that value that was built through the presentation, they forgot about all that. So they're way back to here. Their car is rolled backwards all the way back down the hill, and they have no momentum, and they're at the bottom of the hill with no gas. Does that make sense to you? But in many cases, when I did get a hold of them, and I used to do conference calls, who else do you want to check? Let's just get them on the phone right now. Because you know what they're going to ask? They're going to ask, who's the company? What's the product look like? What kind of guarantee do you have? What kind of support are you going to get? And they're going to ask you those questions. They go through the whole thing again. But here's what I found when there's a partnership. When there's like two people, you know, they have sometimes two-person real estate teams. Okay? They check with their partner. And I remember doing a three-way conference call. This one specific guy was a caterer. And the guy, I got to check with my partner. And the caterer was out like in Phoenix or Vegas or somewhere out there or Colorado. But the guy's partner was in L.A. for some reason. I said, "Man, great. Check with someone else." I tried everything. I tried the "no, you don't need to" talk. "No, I really insist." "Great, let's get him on the phone right now. So I can be here as a consultant and answer any questions that he might have. Let's wrap this thing up. You're a businessman, so am I. Time is money. We're close. Let's come to a close one way or the other." Okay, got the guy on the phone, and here's what the guy said. And this is in the training verbiage from this exact one specific phone call. The guy said, "Oh, yeah, I think I got a website, got the consultant on the phone, looked into it, blah, blah, blah." He said, "Well, where'd you learn from this guy?" He goes, "Oh, he called me up." He goes, "Well, this is," and really the bottom line what the guy said was, "Hey, it's $500, $600, and you've invested time to research it. Well, hey, you're the one that has all the information. In other words, you've researched the company, you've researched the product, you've checked this guy out, you understand the benefits. You know, you're the guy that really should make the decision. You know all about it. So whatever you think." Okay? So when I had that happen to me, guess what I started telling my clients? I said, "I got to check with someone else." I just told them that story. I said, a lot of times if someone says to someone else, they're going to say, "Oh, I need a website." Well, of course you need a website. And the questions they're going to have is, who's the company? What's the product? What kind of service can I get? What's my guarantee? Okay? Can you see where when you ask someone else, they're going to say, "Well, gosh, you have all the information. Aren't you the one in the best position to decide?" So the close becomes, "You have all the information. Aren't you the best one to decide?" Now you got to soften it up and deliver it more effectively, and I just nailed it on you guys. Okay? And, you know, I'll read you the script here so you can see how nice it is here. Okay? "Hey, no problem. Do you feel that you understand the benefits of having a website? Hey, what we're talking about here is a program that's going to bring you new customers. One of the reasons I take the time that I do is to give you all the information you need to make a wise decision. Is there anything else you need more information on?" Okay? What I have found is that when people check with someone else, the other person doesn't have all the complete information. They usually say, "Hey, you're the one with all the information. It's only a few $100. You're the one that should make the decision." That makes sense? Do you have any other questions? Great, let's handle them here today. What I just really said, you don't need to check with anyone else. You have all the information. Now, you got to learn how to deliver that effectively. It's not just the words, it's the music, it's the comfort, right? So doesn't the rebuilding talk and saying, "Hey, no problem," and asking those three questions, do you see how that kind of opens their mind to hearing what I just said? If you say, "I want to check with someone else," I'm like, "Oh, okay, well, let me tell you something. You don't need to check with anyone else. Let me tell you why. You have all the information." I just said the same thing. I just said it really, really, really bad. So I said, "Oh, okay, hey, no problem. No problem. By the way, you know what? I really appreciate your time. No problem at all. Just to help me out, okay, let's just kind of review some of the stuff that we've covered. Number one, we talked about domains. Do you see that you really need your own domain?" "Yeah." "Okay, next is search engine. You see the value?" "Oh, yeah, I got to get in search engine." "Oh, gosh, think one guy could make you, you know, $5,000. Okay, yeah. All right, do you see the importance of learning about the internet, integrating internet?" "Yeah." "Great. Well, hey, let me tell you what I found in doing this for a while. A lot of people tell me, oh, I want to check with someone else, and here's what typically happens. Typically, when someone checks with someone else, what they say is, boom, 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 you say that. Does that make sense? Isn't that 10 times more effective with the three things kind of rebuilding part? So if you guys are just kind of going off the script, you're missing it. There's a lot more to it. But do they really need to check? You guys, $400. Big deal. To a realtor, $400 is nothing. Okay? So the close is, "Hey, no problem, I understand that. Okay, the reason the company pays me to spend an hour and a half of this whole process, okay, is to give you all the information that you need to make a wise decision today. Whether it's yes or no, that's my job, to give you all the information." And typically when someone checks with someone else, what they usually say is, "Well, hey, how can someone give you any input on this product if they haven't seen the product, if they don't understand the company? They don't have anywhere near the information that you do." So if you call up your buddy and ask him, "Do you think I need a website?" Of course he's going to say yes, right? Definitely you need it. We already talked about that. The only question is when and with what company. Well, if you want to start generating leads and if you want to start getting more value out of your marketing, you want to start finding relocation business, generally when do you want to do that? Now or like in 3 months? Great. Just to help me out, is there anything else that's keeping you from moving forward? Well, I just want to think about it. So you're scared to decide. I'm not going to say that, but that's, so now I've got, now I've just isolated the objection. And when I want to check with someone else, I'm scared to commit. And people don't say, I'm scared to commit. That's their, you know, that, what's real, see, remember I talk about isolating the objection. What they say and what's keeping them from moving forward can be two different things. So he just said, oh, I just got to think about it. Now, when I just said, oh, so you're scared to commit, I would not say that like that to a client at all. Okay? I just learned that you're scared to commit. Your real objection, I've isolated the objection. You're scared to commit. But you know what? What is it? Is it the money? Is it making the wrong decision? Is it the company? Is it me? There's still something here. You're not quite there yet. Hey, no problem. Just to help me out, what is it that you wanted to think about? Just question it, probe it, and a lot of times, boom, they'll just shoot the objection right out there. Now, I want to talk to you guys about a great example that happened today, less than an hour ago, on this I want to check with someone else thing. As you guys probably know, or if you don't, now you will, we have been working diligently for the last couple months and doing a lot of research to find a company for health and medical benefits. And Mr. Chris Blank, who's in the room today, has done extensive research. And our VP, Steve and Dave, have been in on several meetings with several companies, and we've spent hours and hours and hours and hours, days worth of research in doing this. As a matter of fact, Chris came walking in with all the information from all the people, all these binders and books and proposals, this high when he came into the meeting in my office an hour ago with all this stuff. Dave was there, Steve was there, Chris was there. They've all been through all the meetings. I have not spent more than 2 ounces of energy on this project. These guys have spent the time. They came in, so I'm like, yeah, we really gotta, you know, we gotta move on this. I'm like, great. Who do you think we should go with? Ron Wilson. Great. Who do you think we should go with? I think we should go with Ron too. Chris came walking in the room, didn't hear what those guys said. I said, Chris, who do you think we should go with? Ron. I said, great, we're going with Ron. Next question. Next question is, what's the policy? They got PPO, HMO, all these different things, right? I'm like, okay. So, but in other words, you've done the work, you've done the research, make the decision. I don't know. What, am I going to go through all that shit myself? Oops, sorry, video, audio. Okay. Am I going to go through all that stuff myself and just go retrack all his work? How inefficient is that? Right? You have all the information, make the decision. You guys got to get that. They do not need to think of someone else. It is invalid. It is void. It is unacceptable. It's BS. It's a lame objection. Don't be sold on that. But don't get, you know, don't lock horns. If, I don't care what your objection is or how right or wrong it is. You lock horns and you bump heads. They don't buy because they get turned off or you scare them away. You know what I mean by that? Okay. All right. So next, I need to check with someone else. Are you guys off that one? Okay. All right. Okay. Excellent. Yeah, we're gonna wrap up here in 2 more minutes because I got a meeting too. 2 more minutes. Okay. Next, I want to think about it. I want to think about it isn't necessarily I need more time. They're not going to go sit on a mountain and do yoga, okay, and sit there and like think about it for 4 days and wait for, you know, higher intelligence to like send them down waves of, you know, decision making. I want to think about it as I'm scared to decide. Great. So just help me out. What is it you really need to think about? Is it the company? Is it the product? Is it the timing? And they'll usually say, oh, it's this, and all of a sudden it's like a converter. Like metrics to what is it called? Regular? Metric system and what? What's inches, feet, yards? What do you call that?
Standard,
whatever. Okay, you got metrics and standard. You need a little converter, right? Well, how many miles is a kilometer? You convert it. How many inches is a meter or centimeter? There's a conversion factor, right? So the guy I want to think about is convert it to the other objection by asking, just tell me out what is it you want to think about. They go, oh, well, I want to think about it if I really need it. What's their objection? Do I really need it? I want to think about if the time is right. What's your objection? Not now. I want to think about if I can trust your company. What's the objection? Is your company solid? So when you get, I want to think about it, you guys, it's not necessarily I want to go sit on the mountaintop and, you know, pray about it. Okay? It's something else. So just tell me out what is keeping you from moving forward. Ask that, and then usually get another objection. Next, I can't afford it. Oh my gosh, you guys, they're a realtor and they can't afford it? Holy smokes. If that's the case, they really need it. Does that make sense? If you're a real estate agent and you're so lame that you're not making any money, well, you better get a website or you're going to be out of real estate very, very soon. You really, really, really need it if you're not making any money. You see what I mean? Okay? So anyway, I don't know if I'd necessarily say that either. Again, I'm just trying to help you guys get a different viewpoint. You got to be firm and tough on the objections they're giving you. I want to think about it. No, you don't. You don't need to think about it. I want to check with someone else. BS. Now, again, I wouldn't say it like that, but that's how you got to think. And then you got to learn how to say it nicely and politely and softly and persuasively. Okay? So when they say, oh, I can't afford it. Now, what is the general objection cycle? What did we talk about yesterday? When you get an objection, what are you supposed to, how do you close? You isolate, you confirm, and you overcome the objection. So if they say, I can't afford it, money's a problem, times are tight. Great, is that it? Is there anything else? No, it's just the money. No problem. You see the value of the website. Obviously you need your own domain. Obviously you see that you need to be in search engines. Obviously you're starting to learn on the internet. Yeah? Great. Well, I can work around the money. Congratulations. Welcome to the internet. Okay? Because your manager can approve creative financing. Okay? I have personally approved deals, and only about two of them in the history of the company. Okay? What was that lady's name? Oh, my gosh. Trying to help Chris get his first deal last June. Okay? We broke it and...
$50 every 2 months.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, a little exaggerating right there. Okay? Was it that bad?
It was.
Okay, hey, we helped you get a deal. Okay? But anyway, we're not going to do that anymore, okay? Because I like $50 back then, you know, paid the phone bill, okay? Back then, you know, any sale was good, okay? But anyway, we could take half now, half in a month. You know what? I just approved one for Vicky last month. It was four payments. $99.50, $99.50, $99.50, $99.50, or $3.98, or something like that. You know, it's quarter down now, and then we had set due dates. We did like four payments. In other words, if you want it, we'll do business. If it's just the money, we can work around that. Anything else? I thought it was something serious. No problem. So if you're only if you ever lose a deal because they say they can't afford it, call them back and close. Hey, you know what? I talked to go talk to your manager. Say, what can we do? Create a plan. Go to Dave, okay, and say, Dave, I got this one. They're really times tight. They really want to buy though. Hey, shoot, if they want to buy, let's let them. I can't afford it. Invalid, because we have creative financing. Whatever they want that your manager will approve. Is that pretty cool? I can't afford it, no problem. I want to check with someone else, come on. I want to think about it, you're just scared to decide. Maybe you're not sold, maybe you don't see the benefits, maybe you don't understand. Now, my own website's already good enough, well that's going to depend on if their website's any good or not. If their website's really good, then I don't know if I would have even done the close. If I looked at their website, they got a really kick butt website, I probably wouldn't have wasted my time or theirs. If they got some crappy listing or some lame realtor.com site or some little sub page within Remax or whatever, where there's their picture and a couple bullet points, okay, I'm going to say, wait, obviously you don't understand the product, let's go back. And I've gotten on presentations that a new guy did, and the client just didn't see the value, the benefits weren't presented properly, the hook just never was set or was in, but the client was really interested. We got to the end, I started probing about objections, and what I found out, when I was floor manager, because I used to sit out there and listen to all the calls, not most of the calls, some of the calls, whatever, was I found out that they said, well, you know what, I don't really understand this. I don't really see the value. Okay, let's go back. And basically what I did is I went and spent an extra 45 minutes and pretty much went all the way through the presentation again in my own words, okay, and really rebuilt the value and created the urgency and got that fear of loss in there and got it all in there and then ended up getting the deal. In other words, is your presentation effective enough that makes them want it? Do they see the benefit? Is this happening effectively? And by the way, if you get to the end and they don't see the value, your odds of getting a deal are pretty much minimum anyway. Okay? So if you got a lame website, that's your objection. If you think that your one little subpage at remax.com/California/area code/your name that's got a little photo with five bullet points, if you think that's as good and adequate compared to what we're offering you for $400 to $500, I'll tell you right now, you don't understand our product. That's that simple. And that's your fault, sales rep. Does that make sense? And say, well, hey, you know what? I must have really understand the product. Let's go back and review this thing. There's a world of difference here. Okay? And that's a whole nother, another training talk right there. Anyway, you guys, don't let objections intimidate you. They're tips, they're hints on how to sell them. They're giving you the formula right there. Here's the answer. Here's how to sell me. Cover that. Help me to feel comfortable and I'll move it forward. Convince me I don't need to check with someone else and I'll do it. You can't afford it? Great. Show me a way I can afford it and I'll buy it today. You see what I mean? Objections are interest. Objections are requests for more information. Become the assistant buyer. Isolate the objection. Rebuild to make them feel comfortable. Handle the objection. All right, guys. Hopefully you got some good stuff.